There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. This is God's word. Please be seated. In many ways, distance equals safety. A judge might say, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this case because I'm too close to it. It would be better, justice would be served better if I would step back and allow somebody else a more objective look at it. Or a sign at the pharmacy counter might say, out of respect for one another, please step back some distance while patient counseling is in progress. Or the training manual for a driving instruction reads, always maintain a safe distance between your vehicle and the one that is in front of you. Distance. Distance is safety in a lot of ways. And that may be one of the reasons we read what we read in that text that I just read from you from Matthew. When Matthew says that there were also many women there at the crucifixion who were looking on from a distance. And we really can't blame them for standing off at a distance as all of this was going on. Just the night before, the mobs with their clubs and their swords had already gotten too close for comfort in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Gospels note that all of the disciples had fled away in the garden, one of them even without his clothes. But Peter did manage to follow the mob, although Matthew also says there, at a distance, which we can well understand. He was concerned for his safety. You know, despite the promise that he had made earlier on that he would be faithful and true to Jesus all the way to the death. But when push came to shove, Peter was just not willing to go the way of the Lord and to be swept away to death. But it's not just safety that sometimes puts people at a distance from each other. Sometimes it's a matter of comfort. You ever have one of those people who converses with you right up close to you, enters into your personal space, and they're right in your face, and you know how uncomfortable that is, and you want to step back, and then they step right to you again until they've got you up against the wall? Sometimes we need that space just for a little bit of comfort. I remember a time when I was a boy, and I broke a window in my friend's house. We were throwing some rocks, and I broke a window. And I remember feeling so uncomfortable about being in that house after I had done that, that for quite some time, I did not go there anymore. I felt better keeping some distance for a while. And even in the church, it seems that the front pews are a little too close for comfort. Perhaps Psalm 88 gives us another clue about why the women watched from a distance. The psalm says, you have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. And certainly that was the case when Jesus was crucified. It must have been horrific. Who but the most twisted person would actually relish approaching the scene of a crucifixion, especially when it was a friend, and find its gory, gruesome details pleasant to behold? Who would be comfortable being so close to a crucifixion as a loved one died cruelly before your eyes? So it was comfort, and it was safety, that were both part of the reason that those women were keeping their distance as Jesus was crucified. But is there perhaps a third factor that's going on here? One time, Jesus, after he had led his disciples to this miraculous catch of fish, and Peter realized who Jesus was, said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner." Peter wanted to put some distance between himself and the Lord, because the Lord was holy, and he was a sinner. And isn't that what puts distance between us all the time? Sin separates. That's what sin does. You have experienced that many times in your own life, how sin has separated you from someone. Do you think that those kids who bullied Phoebe Prince in Massachusetts and drove her to suicide would now feel at ease going to visit Phoebe's parents? How soon would you return to the home of a toddler who was seriously injured because you didn't watch him closely enough as his babysitter? When we inflict misery on somebody else, our tendency is to want to keep our distance from that person because of the shame of what we've done to them. And isn't that really what causes most people to keep their distance from the cross of Jesus Christ? Because he was wounded there for our transgressions, not for his, for ours. He was crushed for our iniquities. The crucifixion gives the lie to the notion that our sins are but petty little crimes. Only at the cross, as we just sang, only at the cross can we correctly assess how serious our transgressions really are. I inflicted that misery on him. I know it's hard to say that. It's hard to draw near the cross and admit that. But I did that to him. And that's the reason so many people are so uncomfortable and want to keep their distance from the cross. Because they don't want to face the horror of what sin really is and how bad it is. And what it really costs. And so now he pays the price. For all of the times that I said, well, this little lie won't hurt anyone. It's not like I'm murdering. And yet, all those little lies are just more symptoms that the sinner needs to hide from the truth. A drunk husband sneaks up the stairs quietly at night so as not to wake his wife. He looks in the bathroom mirror and he bandages all the little cuts and the scrapes that he received in a drunken brawl that night. And then he climbs into bed thinking that he's pulled one over on his wife. And when the morning comes, he opens his eyes and the first things he sees, his wife is standing over him with a scowl. You were drunk last night, she says, weren't you? And he says, no, no, honey, no, why? And she says, well, if you weren't drunk, why did you put all those band-aids on the bathroom mirror? Sin is bad enough. And then we only compound the sin when we deny it, which only separates us even further from our God. And it amplifies that sense that we have that we need to keep God at an arm's length, lest his holiness expose my darkness. Thankfully, tonight, thankfully, our tendency to want to keep distance between us and him is not a mutually agreed upon strategy. Even if that distance between us doesn't bother us, it sure does bother him. He didn't take any pleasure in driving Adam and Eve out of the garden and putting an end to his walks with them in the cool of the day in the beauty of that garden. He wasn't happy when the Israelites said to Moses, you go up to the mountain and you listen to God for us and we'll stay here because we fear for our lives. How do you think God felt about that? His people did not want to draw near to him. They were afraid. And setting up his throne behind a heavy curtain in the tabernacle and later in the temple, where he was completely inaccessible to the people, that was not his preferred way of interacting with his people. But that's the reality of what sin had done. Separation. Distance. And only he had the power to bridge that gap that sin had created. And for that reason, Jesus himself experienced that damning distance when his father abandoned him to his enemies and to sin and to death. Why have you forsaken me? He cried, thus suffering hell for us, so that we would never have to find ourselves on the wrong side of that chasm between Lazarus in heaven and the rich man in hell. And with his final breath, he closed the gap. In an unexpected way, he simply forgives our sins, the sins that once separated us from God. And God is now reconciled to us and we to God through Christ. And as we read tonight, just as He gave up His life, that veil was torn in two, that veil of separation was ripped in half. And now the invitation that you hear so often at the beginning of a worship service starts to take on new meaning. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father. He healed the breach. He closed the gap. He tore down the veil. So now draw near, knowing that the sins you confess are sins that are forgiven. Which is why the author to the Hebrews says, with confidence we draw near to the throne of grace. It was for reasons of comfort and safety that the women kept their distance as they watched the events of Good Friday unfolding and watched their Savior and friend being crucified. But it was for our comfort and safety that the Father in heaven distanced Himself from His only beloved Son when Jesus died for you. And so our prayer from the hymn, Lift High the Cross, is simply this. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as Thou hast promised, draw us all to Thee. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.